We will talk to Bill Flores this morning, right now, rather than next hour. Good morning, Bill. How are you?
They're great, Scott. Good to be on News Talk 1620 again.
Let's talk about what happened last week. We didn't get a chance to chat, and tell me some of the things that that Congress has accomplished in the latter part of the week.
Okay. The first thing that we did was we passed the Intelligence Authorization Act to reauthorize our various intelligence agencies and to authorize the appropriations to fund those. The other thing that we did is we had there was a Democratic resolution to immediately pull our troops out of the Middle East, and that was revoked on a bipartisan basis. We also passed the Trade Priorities and Accountability Act, or TPA. It came over, or we separated it from TIA, Trade Authorization Assistance, Trade Assistance, that was causing some problems for folks. So we separated it, approved it, and then sent it to the Senate, and the Senate will vote on that today. And then we passed the Protect Medical Innovation Act, which is essentially a repeal of the device tax that's inside of Obamacare. That's hurting the ability of our innovators to operate in this country, and they're moving their intellectual property operations overseas. So we voted to repeal that. Last night, we voted to repeal the Obamacare IPAB. This week, or the remainder of the week, we've got the Ratepayer Protection Act, which essentially attempts to undo some of the greenhouse gas rules that the EPA is coming up with that are outside of its statutory authority. And then we'll have we'll start working on an appropriations bill to fund the Interior Department related agencies, including the EPA. And we've got some nice cuts in there for the EPA, so we'll know how much the House really doesn't care for them.
Okay. Now, let's talk Obamacare. Within the week, maybe this week, maybe early next week, we're going to get a ruling on King versus Burwell, and that means whether the federal government's going to subsidize these state health insurance exchanges that have been created. There are any number of plans out there. You have authored one of them under the Republican Study Committee, but you know, right now, they seem to score it as the Ron Johnson plan that will work simply because your plan, as I remember it, does not necessarily tell us that the subsidies would continue, and we'd have to come up with some sort of a bridge plan if in fact, those subsidies are struck down. Is that correct?
That's correct. Most of us as conservatives in Congress think that there need to be two parts to this discussion. The first part is to for Republicans to develop what the aspirational replacement is, and that is a patient-centered solution that respects federalism, that relies on free markets and competition to drive down health care and also to improve access to health care. That's what the Republican Study Committee plan does. Now, that's where we'll be in probably 2017 after you have a new president, because that's not going to happen under this president. But then the second thing that we have to look at is what is the transition that's built between a King versus Burwell decision that removes the subsidies will ultimately cause the demise of Obamacare, or the quicker demise of Obamacare. How do you deal with the 3 or 4 million families that currently have subsidies and would lose their health care coverage under that scenario? And so there are a variety of plans in place. Ron Johnson has one. The Republican Study Committee is elected to not put forth one, but the critical committee chairs in the House, those being John Klein of the Ed and Workforce Committee, Paul Ryan of the Ways and Means Committee, and Fred Upton of the Energy and Commerce Committee, have come up with an outline or a framework to deal with this. I sort of like the framework because it's a hard off-ramp from Obamacare. It gives those families a chance to adjust to fit the failures of Obamacare and then to transition away from being trapped into Obamacare. In other words, it would continue some sort of economic assistance similar to the studies, but then it also allows these families to move outside of Obamacare, move off the exchanges. It repeals the individual mandate and the employer mandate so that we can begin to put the final nails in the coffin of Obamacare and provide the off-ramp to go to a new plan, probably again in 2017.
Bill Flores joining us this morning. I'd like to get your thoughts and comments on a couple of things. First of all, new documents released by WikiLeaks finds that the National Security Agency was spying on President Chirac, Elsa Chirac, Nicolas Sarkozy, Francois Hollande. This is supposed to be one of our allies. Do you believe that the National Security Agency should be spying on our allies, quote?
No, of course not. I don't believe they ought to be spying on Americans, nor should they be spying on any foreign leaders that are friends and allies. And so I think that's what we tried to do in the USA Freedom Act, was to cramp the operations of the NSA to just spy on those people that are foreigners, number one, and two, represent threats to the United States.
Second, obviously, I'd like to get your comments on what happened in Charleston, South Carolina, and where do you think we go with this from a legislative standpoint, in your view?
Well, it's just an awful tragedy, and it's horrible to see that people still have that sort of racist hate inside of them today. We keep hoping that America has moved beyond that bad phase in our history, but every now and then something like this happens, and it just shows that we've got to continue to do all we can to stamp out racism and bias in this country and to move forward. In terms of legislation, I don't know that there's any legislative fix that's going to eliminate racist hate from people's heads. And so we've got to find new ways to, I think we as a society have to find ways to deal with this, but I don't see how legislation is going to cure that.
Certainly.
There's a lot of controversy about the Confederate flag. I mean, the flag didn't kill anybody, but I will say this, the flag represents a phase in our country's history that we'd like to move beyond. And so in my view, I don't think that the Confederate flag ought to be on any sort of a government piece of property over a Capitol building or a state building or anything like that. And I think it's okay to have it in a museum so that people remember what the country went through. But I don't think that it ought to be used as a symbol for a state or anything like that.
Certainly. Bill Flores joins us on Wednesdays. You can hear the entire interview archived on our website at WTAW.com. Thanks for the time this morning, Bill.
Good talk to you, Scott. I'd ask our listeners to continue praying for our country and our military men and women.
All right.